Welcome to Hey You Geeks, a bi-weekly podcast covering the best and sometimes worst geek culture has to offer. I'm Tony Nunes.
And I'm Rick Rubello.
And we are back after a pretty long hiatus. What has it been, 4 months?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like 4 months. So we're going to have a lot of new listeners, I anticipate, because we've had a lot of moving and a lot of changes happen over the last few months. You'll notice that Geek Dad is now where we're housed. We're now a part of the Geek Dad Podcast Network, which is a new podcast network that Geek Dad is starting up right now. And previously, we were part of the Sound On Sight radio network. So it's a big change. It's a fun change for us, though, because as we've talked about on the show before, Rick and I are both proud fathers and proud geeks. So since we have some new listeners, we'll kind of introduce what the show is, and then we'll go into our topic after some current event news and things like that. But our main topic today, well, Rick, I'll let you talk about it because you came up with this idea, and it's quite timely, and it's something we've discussed a little bit here in the past.
Well, what it is that after the Daredevil trailer came out this week, the full trailer, there was some discussion about, why is Marvel making something dark? Or I thought Marvel only did happy movies. And it seemed kind of strange. And it's completely coincidentally, Patton Oswalt was on a video cast talking about how Batman should be the only person allowed to brood. But I don't think he meant, I think he meant that just in the Warner universe and not necessarily the Marvel universe, because he obviously feels differently about that. But that's really the thesis is, are Marvel movies happy and Warner Brother movies dark? Are Warner Brother movies too brooding? Should only Batman be allowed to brood? So that's one of the things that I think we'll talk about today.
Yeah, and that's something we talk about a lot in the show, so Before we get into some of the current geek news, let me just give kind of a primer of what Hey You Geeks is all about for the new listeners out there, and I'll be quick. This is episode number 40, so we've been going on for about a year and a half, maybe two years almost. Right now, we're doing the podcast bi-weekly. That could change. We could go back to a weekly format like we did before. We'll see how things play out, but basically, we talk a lot about geek culture. Like I said at the top of the show, we talk about the best and the worst geek culture has to offer. So we talk about new movies. Mainly we talk about movies, comics, and television. I would say those are our three main points. Mostly about movies and comics, I would say, more than anything else. And, we talk about movies, comics, and TV with geek-related, a lot of superhero things and things like that. We talk a lot about the industries themselves and, where the film industry is going, what geek culture means, the whole Comic-Con structure and how that's becoming something entirely new. Rick and I'll let you talk about where you're coming from, Rick, but we both come from film backgrounds. We've both kind of worked in and out of the film industries, television industries, and things like that. So, we have a pretty good idea of the inner workings. We haven't worked on anything massive, but, that's kind of our passion. So that's kind of what we discuss more than anything. And Rick is a teacher. I'll let you talk about that.
No, I'm a professor, and I teach, screenwriting, and I teach film and pretty much everything related to media, mass media, media history, things like that. So, my background, my degree is in media studies, my master's degree is in media studies. So I always tell people, my mom never said I'd make a buck watching TV, and then I got a degree in watching television, so, and film. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't have it any other way.
And I also have a film degree, but that's not where I make most of my money. I make most of my money in marketing these days, but I do a lot of film stuff on the side. But I think we bring kind of a unique angle to it because, we do talk a lot about movies. Sometimes we'll do episode-long movie reviews We'll break down speculation about big franchises. We talk a lot about Star Wars, but we also talk about the industry itself. So we talk a lot about this, you know, special effects, box office, things like that. You know, try to tackle trends and things like that. So I think we bring it a kind of an interesting spin to our discussion most times. And, you know, we do fun things like we've done an episode about every Batman film, kind of trying to come to a consensus as of what we think is the best Batman film. And that's something we want to do some more of with some other franchise, you know, other franchises like Superman or Star Wars. We've also had some pretty great guests on the show. Last year we had Frank Pavich, who directed the amazing documentary Jodorowsky's Dune. We had the head of Henson Studios come on to talk about puppeteering and their new show on Sci-Fi. Who else? We had the Future Folk, which is a science fiction musical group. We've had a lot of guests, and the goal moving forward now is to try to get at least one guest a month. We'll see what happens, but that's the goal. And I think we can bring in some pretty cool people. We have kind of a cool short list that we're working on right now. Right. But today we don't have a guest.
And we also do talk a lot about our kids.
We do.
And trying to indoctrinate them into the world that we enjoy, the geek culture that we enjoy, and how they react and interact with it, and how we bring them along in our journey of geekdom. So
yeah, and we talk about how we get sucked into things that our kids like, and then we end up liking them more sometimes, such as Disney Infinity and things like that. Which I'm sure we'll have an episode about Disney Infinity at some point. You know, there's a lot to discuss, and we have a lot of fun doing it. But like I said, at the top of the show now, and this is kind of a new format for us, we're going to start each show talking about a few of the news items from the past couple of weeks, new movie announcements, trailers, what have you. And then we'll go into our main thesis of the show or our main topic of the show. So let's open it up to talk about some of the stuff. Because it's been 4 months, there's a lot of stuff that we haven't talked about, and we're not going to talk about all of it. But
way too much stuff has happened.
So much. I mean, it's always there's so much happening. I wanted to talk about Ghostbusters because we've done a couple episodes about Ghostbusters. We did kind of a celebration of the 30th anniversary of Ghostbusters last year. Mm-hmm. But there's the news that came out since we last recorded. First, we had the news about the all-female Ghostbusters, which we kind of knew that was coming. It was predicted, and the casting and everything is nothing surprising. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that first before we go into the other Ghostbuster stuff. Mm-hmm. We knew this was coming, but it's been so long, I can't remember what you thought about this.
Well, I mean, I'm all right with it because I like Paul Feig and I like this cast. Like I like these women and what I've seen from them, obviously from Bridesmaids. So I don't doubt for a second it's not going to be a funny movie or an entertaining movie. You know, I mean, obviously there's no way we're getting back the original cast because now, you know, we've lost some people. And, you know, even if we did get them back, they're almost 70. So, I mean, you got to kind of make do, you know, what you're going to make do with. But I think Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy are great, you know, and Leslie Jones, Kate McKinnon, they'll be fine. And Paul Feig's done a really good job with other stuff, so I think they'll be okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's been long enough you can go in another direction, it won't hurt that much. So yeah, that's my take.
I agree. I mean, I think it's a good idea. I think it is a different take, and that's going to be a lot of fun. The cast is pretty good. We knew Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig were going to be part of it. There's really no doubt in my mind. Leslie Jones is an awesome addition. You know, she's hilarious. She's a firecracker on SNL, and that current SNL cast is pretty crappy in my opinion. But she definitely shines on that show. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. Like you said, Paul Feig, I don't know.
I think it's F-E-I-G, so it's Feig, I think.
Yeah. Well, Feig. Paul Feig. He is hilarious. He's very good at directing these comedies, especially these female ensemble comedies. So I think it's cool, but the news that followed that there's going to be some kind of Ghostbusters multiverse. It's not even a multiverse. It's just kind of.
I just said a universe. Well, I think we've been doing all this intellectual property building in the last few years, and it seems like everybody wants to come to the table with their intellectual property.
Yeah.
So Ghostbusters is obviously a big IP that was sitting out there dormant. And, it's got a really long history, very, very hardcore fan base. I think even more so. I mean, my generation was sort of the generation that saw it because I was probably about 11 or 12 when it came out. But the generation that watched the animated series and watched it on DVD and tape seems like a much more rabid fan base than
my group. Yeah. I mean, that's the camp I fall into.
Yeah.
It's funny because people love Ghostbusters 2, even though they can't really admit that it's not that great of a movie.
Right, right.
So it's one of those things where you're so attached to it that it's hard to see any wrongdoing in a franchise or admit that, bygones should be bygones and or egons should be egons. It should be let go. The fact the female thing was awesome. I was like, this is going to be great. This is going to be fun. But then they announced that they're doing an all male rehashing of Ghostbusters as well, and they take place in the same kind of universe. So there'll be crossover. It's a whole new franchise. I just thought it devalued the whole idea of this female ensemble.
Well, I mean, they kind of can't walk away from it being a money grab. At this point,
no.
Because that's what it is. It's a money grab, Because what it is, they get one movie with the girls, one movie with the guys, one movie with the guys and girls.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be the crossover potential is huge. And then they'll relaunch Ghostbusters, the animated series. And, we've talked about this in the past, but everything that's old is new again.
New again.
They're doing a new DuckTales. There's a new Inspector Gadget cartoon. All those shows that I grew up with, at least, are becoming, new again. And they're doing the same thing with Ghostbusters. It's only a matter of time until we see a Back to the Future remake or something, they open that world back up because that's another franchise that has a rabid fan base.
I'm actually surprised that we haven't heard anything about Back to the Future. I really am.
No, I think
maybe we should shut up.
I was just gonna say that. I was gonna say maybe we shouldn't have brought this up because now next week we're gonna hear that there's. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, the Ghostbusters thing. It's the same. What were we talking about a while ago? Universal's doing their
monsters.
Monsters. Yeah. They're doing a whole multiverse of new monster movies with crossovers, and then. Legendary is doing the whole kaiju crossover stuff. So there's a new Pacific Rim coming out. There's another Godzilla. There's Skull Island. And that they're going to in some way cross together. And right. I'm all for a Pacific Rim, Godzilla, King Kong crossover. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things. It's just never-ending recycling of ideas. So
no, it is.
Yeah, I mean that's where I stand with the Ghostbusters news. I was excited about the girl one. And then they said Channing Tatum was the first person cast.
Right.
I don't hate Channing Tatum. He's pretty good in some stuff, but I don't want to see Channing Tatum in the Ghostbusters. I don't consider him a comedian.
No. I guess what it is they looked at 21 and 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, he can do this, he can do that. So,
well, maybe if they had Phil Lord and Chris Miller directing it, but it's not happening. Well, look, let's talk about the other big news that came out last week about another big franchise, which we talk about all the time, Star Wars. They announced that 2017 episode 8 would come out. Correct. And it's coming out in May, mm-hmm. which I'm sure makes you very happy.
Yeah, of course. That's where it belongs.
That's where it belongs. Yep. Not this December nonsense that we're getting this year.
Nope.
But then we knew that, what's his name? Oh my gosh. Who's directing that?
J.J. Abrams?
No. Episode 8.
Oh, episode 8.
And his name totally just escaped me, and that's awful. He's the director of Looper. And, you know, what a jerk I am. I hate that.
When you go blank, yeah. It's Rian Johnson. Yes.
And he's awesome. He directed the best episode of Breaking Bad. So that's exciting. But they announced the first spinoff movie. And we've speculated on this since our first episode of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Gareth Edwards is directing it. Gareth Edwards, who did Godzilla and the far superior Monsters, which was his first movie. But he is doing Rogue Squadron.
Right.
And I don't know. We have to. All we can do at this point is speculate some more, because all we have is a title, really. But what do you think Rogue Squadron is going to be?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a dead giveaway. I mean, it's obviously a fighter pilot film, which is fine. You know, I mean, I have no problems with watching a movie that's going to be nothing but X-wing fighters flying around shooting people, and that I'm cool with that 100%. You know.
It's called,
it'll be great. It'll
it's
be
called
great
Rogue
for them.
One. Rogue One, right?
Yeah, Rogue One.
That's
yeah.
what I meant. Yeah.
But no, I think it's good. I mean, people love fighter pilot stories. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I joined the Navy and, you know, went on an aircraft carrier, because I wanted to be around jets. You know, so I mean, there's a lot of good, compelling stuff that comes out of that sort of arena. So I'm sure it's going to be really a lot of action. Really interesting, you know. I mean, we'll see. We don't know. The problem is we know nothing.
Really. It's ironic too, because you know, George Lucas steps away, and the first spin-off movie they're making is kind of like a dogfight movie, and we know George right. Lucas loves those kind of movies, those Howard yeah. Hawks kind. Yeah. He made one that Red Tails movie. Yeah. So that's kind of a weird bit of irony. A lot of people right. though are speculating, wrongly so, I'm sure, but. There was talk about like a bounty hunter piracy type movie. So right. people are saying, you know, it could be like a rogues gallery of Star Wars characters. I do not think that's the case. Because Red One, which was part of some of the earlier Star Wars comics, was one of the squadrons, you know, with Wedge and Antilles and everything. So... yeah, I think this will definitely be some kind of fighter pilot movie. Mm. It is cool. I was hoping for there was that rumor of a possible Seven Samurai type Star Wars spinoff, which is kind of, you know, it could be the bounty hunter piracy type movie. I was hoping that would be the first one, but it's okay. It's better than the Young Han Solo movie we're probably going to get.
I know. Well, I know, you know, Tales from the Bounty Hunters is one of everybody's favorite Star Wars books.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just so much fun to read. So, I mean, hopefully they will. Obviously, they said, you know, they threw that stuff out as canon. But I think that kind of thing would be interesting. I mean, I'd like to see them do like an anthology movie like that. That'd be kind of fun to kind of look at different, you know, jump around for a few different things and get some different perspectives. But we might be asking too much for that. So.
Well, if they ever do the live action Star Wars television series that they've talked about for a million years, right. you know, that might be a good road to take for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who knows? Let's transition now to our main topic, which is our Marvel DC conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But let's, before we talk about the dark and the light, let's talk about the fact that we went to New York Comic Con last year, and right. there was a striking absence on the floor of New York Comic Con. There was no DC presence at all on the floor, anywhere. You know, they didn't have a booth. We know that they moved. They were housed in New York forever, and last year they made the move, the controversial move to Los Angeles, clearly so they could focus on more film and television crossovers with comics. Well, we were both stunned about that. I'm still a little stunned by that because it is called Comic-Con.
Right.
And now Marvel is doing it with San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does this mean for the industry?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I talked to you about this and I mentioned that, you know, is Marvel and DC leaving or did Comic-Con leave them first? Meaning when you go to Comic-Con, the emphasis on comics, as far as the panels go, on the floor, there's no question it's Comic-Con because there's comics everywhere. But as far as panels and everything else goes, it's so tilted towards cinema and film and television, you know, that it's not really focused on comics. So I think there's definitely a debate as to whether or not, you know, is Marvel and DC leaving Comic-Con, or did Comic-Con leave Marvel and DC first? But that being said, why not go?
Exactly. Like,
you know, what do they have to lose by going?
They have the money, I'm sure, for a nice big booth, and people demand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. It's this weird phenomenon of, you know, there's tons of comic book movies, and they're announcing years in advance, you know, their whole slate of movies. DC and Marvel are both doing that. And they're putting out more and more comics than ever, too, at the same time. So I don't get why would you neglect being at the one place that is named for the industry that...
It makes no sense to me at all.
It's crazy.
Sense to me at all. I don't get it.
It is weird. It's like, the thing is too, it would be different if Marvel and DC, their comic and film divisions, if they were one in the same, but they're not, they're separate. Yeah. So it's not like they need people covering the movies so they can't cover the comics. That's not the case.
Right.
It's just pure neglect and, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think there's going to be any backlash from it.
No.
Outside of people like us talking about it and saying, oh, geez, you know, we used to love going to comics, Comic-Con.
You know, but here's the thing, though. It's like, obviously, we are at the absolute crest of the wave right now. Right? We're at the peak of the modern comic boom. Now, the problem is that there's always a bottom to the wave, right? So when the wave hits bottom, they're going to need to once again go out and peddle their wares. Because there will be a time when people will be sick of comic movies. Maybe not us, but the general public will be sick of it. And they're going to have to go out and sell these ideas again. So that's what I'm saying. Sooner or later, they're going to have to come around. So I don't... You know, obviously this year, they could argue that they're busy. There's a lot of stuff going on. But that kind of makes it even more important why they need to be there.
I mean, there really is no excuse when it comes down to it, because any excuse that we could think of, you know, that they're busy or whatever, I mean, they have huge staffs. They could send interns to man the booths. Right. I mean, they have the stuff to, you know, they have the wares to hawk at these things. There's no reason not to be there.
It's hard to believe, Tony, me and you might have been at the last Cup of Joe.
Right. Well, I that's the thing too. Like, so DC didn't have a booth at New York, but they did have a couple of panels. You know, we sat in on the Batman anniversary panel, which was amazing. I mean, that was a great panel. I just think if you're gonna bring people for panels, at least have a booth too. It's just it's a big part of it for the people who don't do the, you know, the panels are so limited. You know, you can only have so many people come in before getting shut out. So for those fans that want to see something, just, you know, be on the floor. It's just, it's bizarre. It's just a weird thing.
Is Marvel, you know, Marvel was always so good at, you know, having a great presentation and Cup of Joe, and they always had nice giveaways and, you know, signings and tchotchkes and all kinds of other stuff. So it just, DC I kind of understood and expected it, but Marvel, that seems a little weird to me. I'm really still having a hard time sort of reconciling that one, especially, you know, they're out there selling a lot more than just, you know, they got their shows coming on Netflix this year.
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot of stuff.
That's the thing. It was James Gunn who said they're not going to be there, yeah. Which, I mean, that in my mind is saying that they're not going to have a film presence there either.
No, I guess not. It just doesn't make sense.
I get that it's after Ant-Man and the Avengers are in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, they have two movies coming out every year. So I bet you it'll change. I bet they'll be there in some capacity. But it's shocking. I expect this with DC, but not Marvel.
No, like I said, I just can't see Joe Quesada out there not doing his thing, because he seems to really enjoy and embrace that.
To get down with the fans and questions and talk about the industry. And right. Yeah, so, right. Well, we'll see if they're at New York this year. So
I hope so.
So we haven't had a podcast episode since the Daredevil trailers and everything came out, and that show comes on in a month, less than a month probably.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's incredible.
It is. It's nuts.
Yeah, we get so psyched up for these things, and they just, because they're so stacked, that, you know, you think that's all it's going to take forever, and the next thing you know, it's time again.
It is. So what did you think of the trailer? Are you excited for the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks good. I mean, it looks like Daredevil.
It does look like Daredevil.
Looks like what it should look. I mean, it's not, you know, the overly stylized, effervescence soaked film that we saw a few years ago. You know, a film that was, I mean, the movie, you know, very much a part of its time. Like, it had all the tropes of the films of that period. So I think the show will be fine. Now.
It did. Nice Evanescence callback there.
Yeah, I know.
I forgot about that band.
That's back when, you know, Wake Me Up Inside was like every movie trailer.
Yeah. It was. I think, you know, it looks great. It will be really interesting, because so far what Marvel has done on television with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started out terrible. I stuck with it for a long time, and then I gave up on it. And then I started watching it again, and it's starting to get its legs again, starting to get a little better. But it's super light, very, very light, thematically and everything. And then I watched Agent Carter. I don't know if you watched Agent Carter.
No, I have no interest in Agent Carter.
It was fantastic. It was really good. And it was, because it was super light, and it was lighthearted and fun, you know, it had a kind of a noir style. It was very stylized, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would like it either, because
I don't get it. They have so many characters.
They do.
They have so many bankable names to work from. Because, like, at least, you know, Warner Brothers on TV is smart enough where they're using people like Green Arrow and Flash. You know, secondary heroes, but secondary heroes that people know and like. You know, and I give them credit for that. And obviously they brought in the Atom, they brought in Firestorm, they brought in some different people. But that's, Marvel has so many people to go to. Some of the choices they've made as far as who they're bringing out, I kind of scratch my head.
No, it is a weird choice. It is a weird choice, because there are so many other options out there, but it really was a great show. You know, it doesn't necessarily really feel like a Marvel show. It has some of the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff wedged in there. It has a lot of Captain America themes. But outside of that, it's not a real superhero show. It's about espionage and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, but like I said, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too, they're light. They're accessible for all kinds of ages, and you know, they're fun. They're freewheeling shows that you can watch. Daredevil, on the other hand, does not look like a fun, freewheeling comic book show, and it shouldn't.
No.
I mean,
going back to Patton Oswalt's rant, I mean, I think if he could expand that, he'd say, you know, nobody can brood except Batman and Daredevil, you know, or the Punisher, I guess.
Or the Punisher, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Marvel
but
has...
I mean, it's, especially because it looks like they're doing the Frank Miller, you know, Daredevil, which is great because that's what everybody wants. You know, that's the character everybody wants. So that's fine. I think that's, you know, I'm really looking to see Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin.
Yeah, he looks pretty great as Kingpin.
Yeah, he does. He looks like Kingpin.
He does. A little skinnier,
For the first time, Kingpin looks like Kingpin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I mean, John Rhys Davies was the first person playing Kingpin in the Hulk movie.
And then Michael Clark Duncan.
Then Michael Clark Duncan.
Yep. I don't know. What's the other show that's coming? What's the next show coming out for Marvel? Is it Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones, yeah.
And then there's
Luke Cage, right?
Luke Cage, yeah. I think Jessica Jones is next.
Right.
And those are all Netflix shows. It'll be interesting to see what the feel of those shows is, though, because the dark and the light, like you mm-hmm. said, you know, Marvel has all of their movies are pretty light. Although the new Avengers: Age of Ultron, from the trailers I've seen so far, they're pretty grim trailers. But I imagine that the actual movie has a nice blend, just like the first one did, that perfect mm-hmm. blend of the dark ominous with the light. Maybe a little more dark in this one, though.
Yeah, could be. I mean, obviously they're heading towards Civil War, so...
Yeah, and Marvel does really well. The tone mm-hmm. of all of their movies have been right on. Except the Sony Marvel movies, which are technically not Marvel Studios. Like the last couple Spider-Man movies, I would say those are the biggest offenses as far as the dark light controversy goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you seen both of these?
Yeah, I've seen them both. Well, you know, I really think I hate to say it, but you know, I was reflecting on DC and their choices, and I'm really wondering if the person to blame here isn't Green Lantern, because when you think about it. They gave that movie the opportunity to be an upbeat, lighter sort of film, and it was just laid an egg. Now I think they blamed it on being a little bit more lighter, and not the person playing the role or the story. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think after Green Lantern, everybody's like, "Oh, we all better get serious again."
Well, you know, at least the Superman movie too.
Well, I mean, Superman came after Green Lantern, and you could definitely tell that somebody told somebody, look, let's get all the, nothing happy in here, okay?
No, I'm talking about the Superman movie before that.
Oh, yeah.
What was that called?
I think
to say Superman Returns, but it is not.
It is Superman Returns.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that was a light movie. I don't hate that movie. A lot of people hate on that movie. I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, I'll tell you what, I liked it right up until the Super Baby. Then I was like, fuck this. I'm not going to watch this.
What's the Super Baby?
When Lois had the baby and then he realizes it's his baby.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah. There's a Super Baby thing in there because it's supposed to be in Superman 2 when they made love that she got pregnant and then he left. So it's, yeah, the Super Baby is in there. So.
And then there's Man of Steel, which is, that's what you were talking about before that. That, I mean, that is a dark movie.
Yeah. Should have been called Man of Steely Personality.
Yeah.
That's what...
Well, everything about that, and everything about the new Batman Superman movie that's in production, I mean, the suits themselves are so dark and dirty looking.
Right.
Even the Supergirl, the pictures of Supergirl, the new TV show, and then Wonder Woman, Aquaman, what did Patton Oswalt say? He looks like the lead singer from System of a Down or something. Yeah. Like, and he really does. He looks like some guy taking over for Rob Zombie.
And he was talking about that everybody looks like the Droogs out of Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Everybody has the same facial expression.
And they do. They do. That's true. That's the thing. Marvel is doing fine for the most part. They need to reclaim Spider-Man and do it properly. But DC are just, they're not doing very well. And what he said is perfect, because Batman, they do well with Batman because he is brooding, but they try to emulate that success of the Christopher Nolan Batman films into everything they've done so far, movie-wise. TV's separate. They're doing okay there, but Man of Steel, everything. Aquaman should be kind of a shiny, blonde-haired,
right?
You know, the throne of, dude. Yeah, something. I mean, the recent Throne of Atlantis stuff that DC put out in their comics, I think last year, some of that stuff was really good. But it has some darker overtones, but it doesn't go that dark.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't have Khal Drogo looking like, you know, he's just got out of some Mexican prison, and I don't know. It's like, it's like a goth Green Acres. That's what that cover looks like, or that picture looks like.
I think that they, for some reason, just let Zack Snyder just take the ball and run with it. And I don't know why, because I don't think Zack's proven to be like a, you know, the world's greatest director that you wouldn't have oversight. But they seem to just be letting him do his thing. So, and I think we're all just going to be riding along with that. But we'll have to see. I mean, it's strange.
They're clinging too much to one ideal, which is the Christopher Nolan ideal.
Right.
Those movies were wildly successful, and they're fantastic, and you know, people love them. So they figure, let's keep doing this with all of our superhero movies. Well, Marvel doesn't do that, which they proved last year more than anything with Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, that was just, what a crazy gamble that was. Yeah. And it ended up being, one of the top three grossing movies of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my favorite movie of last year.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so much fun.
It goes back to the Patton Oswalt thing. It's like, yeah, that works for Batman because it's Batman.
Yeah.
So that's why. That's who he is. So, you know, what I think they don't understand is when Nolan did the Batman thing, he gave people the Batman that they wanted, a very dark Batman. That's what they wanted from that character. You have to go back to the audience and say, well, what do you want of this character? And that's not what they want of Superman. That's not what they want of those characters. So it's a disconnect from what people expect of that character.
It is. We will never see a Super Friends movie that is anything like the Super Friends cartoon.
No, we won't. Thank God.
Yeah, that's one extreme to another. But
you bring Gleek back. So.
Oh my God, I can. I can only dream now.
Bad images there.
But I don't know. I just. I can't wait to see the first trailer for the Batman Superman movie. Right. Because what they're doing now with the combination of all these, we know they're setting up for a Justice League movie, but the whole conflict of the dark DC movies, that's not going to go away anytime soon, because they're taking the dark Batman and throwing all the characters into his film.
Right.
So, I have a feeling it's only going to get darker. For a little while.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Like we said, that even Supergirl has a dirty blue uniform now.
She does. Supergirl.
Yeah, Supergirl.
I'm surprised they didn't make her like a brunette or something too.
even that, it's like, why Supergirl? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's a weird choice.
It's unbelievable. It's just, it's a shitty family character. I mean, it's something out of the 50s when everybody had a family and a dog and, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, why this? Nobody was asking for this. Nobody.
Everyone's been asking for a Wonder Woman movie.
Right.
Which they should push up to the top of their dock, you know, but they're not. No. You know, they're going to make one, but it's just going to take a little while longer. And that's a problem. I think with TV, they can rush things. So I think they said, well, let's, you know, since we're not going to make this Wonder Woman movie for a while that people have been screaming for, let's find another iconic female superhero that we can make a TV series out of. And they went with Supergirl. Because I would say in the DC slot, she's probably is the number two most familiar.
Right. Well, because DC never did much or anything with women.
To this day, they're not doing much.
No.
They're only now changing Wonder Woman's outfit. Did you see the new DC previews for June with Wonder Woman's new outfit?
Well, I'll tell you, yeah, the Wonder Woman's outfit, I was neither here nor there. But this whole robot Batman thing that's coming down the pike?
Yeah, what's that?
What is up with that? Did we not make this mistake before?
It's off of the success of the film Chappie. They decided, oh, we need a robot Batman with like bunny ears or Donnie Darko ears or something. Oh,
man, what is going on?
It's weird. But you know what? I'll say this. DC, their comics...
The Batman in the comics has been spectacular.
It's been so good. We talk about DC movies a lot, kind of unfavorably. Even though we don't hate. I mean, I didn't hate Man of Steel. I kind of enjoyed it. I just, you know, it doesn't hit the right tone. Their comics, I don't read all of them because, you know, in order to do that, I would have to be one of the richest people in the world because nobody can afford to read all of them. There's too many. But even the comics are fairly dark. Batman is great. You know, Snyder's run on Batman right now is amazing.
Oh, it's legendary.
Very dark. You know, Death of a Family is pretty damn dark. So I don't see them getting out of this dark kind of rut that they're in. And it sucks because comic books are, and we've said this before on the show, and we stand by this idea that comic books were created for kids. So comic book movies as a whole should be accessible to kids and families. You know, I should be able to take my kids to go see a Spider-Man movie without worrying about being too dark or what have you. So, you know, I could never take my kids at their age right now, you know, 7 and 4, to a DC movie. They're, you know, too violent, too dark. But
you can't show them Superman snapping somebody's neck.
No, you cannot. You can't. And, you know, I couldn't take them to the Nolan movies.
Yeah.
Way too violent. I love those movies. And I don't think that every movie needs to be accessible for a 7-year-old, but certain superheroes like Spider-Man, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anytime you make a Spider-Man movie, I should be able to take my 7-year-old to go see it without any worries. You know, there's going to be a little violence in it. That's the character, but it should be a fun movie that, you know, a freewheeling movie, but I'm hoping that changes, but will my kids be able to go see a Superman movie, the next Superman Batman movie? Probably not. They probably will not even want to go see it. I'll go see it.
Absolutely. But yeah, I know it does. You know, there is a problem because you are in a way, especially with comics, you know, the goal is always to build that next generation. And it's hard to build that next generation if that next generation can't see the product.
It is. You know? And if they're not going, if they're abandoning comics very slowly, maybe. I don't know that they're abandoning comics per se, but if they're not showing up at Comic-Con, right, and they're relying more on their movies and things like that, then they need to be making that a little bit more accessible.
Yeah.
You know, the funny books, you know, that's...
Well, the funny books are not that funny.
They're not that funny. The funny books can make a kid...
That's why I hear people say that phrase. I look at them and going, you haven't picked up a comic in 30-something years, have you? Because they have not been funny.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I think, you know, I think it should be 50-50 with the comics and the movies based on the comics. You know, I think 50% of them should and can be for kids. And then the rest can be for adults. You know, who wouldn't love to see the Dark Knight Returns as a movie? In no way would that be a kid's Batman movie, because it would be super violent, super dark. But, you know, people like us would love it.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you know, there has to be that happy medium, that dark and light, you know. Mm-hmm. It's you know, the balance. You know, it goes back to everything.
And that's what's so problematic with this Batman-Superman thing, because, you know, Superman and Batman are supposed to be the yin and the yang. That's kind of their gimmick.
Exactly.
And when you have a yin and a yin, then it's just flat out confusing for the audience, because, you know, who do we follow? Who do we trust? Who do we care about? You know, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Who should I listen to? It just seems strange. It's like, you know, what are they going to be fighting over in this film? You know, each other's style? It's like, well, Superman snapped a guy's neck. That's pretty Batman-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not exactly the way he would go. So it's confusing. But I'm sure they'll just do what they want and, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, retcon everything, but we'll see.
And they'll make a hell of a lot of money in doing so.
Right. I mean...
And then they'll continue to pat themselves on the back, and they'll continue to make dark movies. And then when Green Lantern finally does come around again, he too will be dark.
Poor Green Lantern, if he comes around again, imagine how dark they're going to make him to overcompensate.
Oh my God. They're even going to name it. They're going to change his name to like the Black Lantern. Yeah. They're going to go that far. He's coming around again.
God.
But by the time he comes around again, I fear that the bubble is going to start to burst with comic book movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's inevitable. There's some good stuff on the slate for Marvel and DC coming out, but, you know, so much, you know, pushing this stuff out so much.
Yeah, how long can you do?
All it takes are a couple of bad movies.
Right.
And, you know, DC could ruin it for everybody.
Well, and just because, you know, because they're throwing out such a large volume of movies, I mean, you got at some point, you're just going to have some clinkers in there somewhere. You're going to have something bad in there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I love everything Marvel does, but I'm still not... Everything I've seen of Ant-Man so far, and I like Paul Rudd a lot, that movie hasn't sparked a tremendous amount of interest in me. I will... Don't get me wrong, I'll be there opening night to see it and everything. Right. But it's not, it's lacking something. Maybe I'm just bitter because Edgar Wright should be the one who made that. But yeah, it's just, it's not looking great to me.
Well, I mean, you know, we're also kind of delving out into these more and more obscure characters.
Yeah.
And that has a lot to do with Marvel, you know, giving away their best characters. Not giving away, but, you know, renting out their best characters to Sony. Well, so they had to kind of dig deep.
That's another thing we didn't even mention is the new Fantastic Four movie, which looks super dark.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that movie has no right to be dark.
That movie has no right to be called Fantastic Four. It doesn't look like a Fantastic Four movie.
Nope, and that's another one that I saw the preview and I was, you know, I was not excited about that either.
It just hurts your head looking at it, because Reed Richards looks like he's 14 or 15, you know, and then Sue Storm and Johnny are completely different races.
Yeah.
You know, and Ben Grimm weighs about 90 pounds.
Yeah,
It hurts to even look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with them mixing up, genders and races and all of that stuff, as long as you're keeping it thematically sound to what that, you know. I mean, that's such an old comic series, yeah. And to strip it away of all of its identity like that. Yeah. I'm not talking about, you know, gender or.
But my thing is, this is like, who do they think that's going to get over with? Because obviously they're not going to allow the people who like that book to get over with them if you walk away from that. So who's this for then?
I don't know. I mean, that preview just.
I mean, the first two Fantastic Four movies, even though they're not great movies, I still think they were cast decently. I mean, I like Yoan Gruffudd and a lot of other things he's done.
Chris Evans is awesome. I mean,
obviously Chris Evans is fine, right?
But the thing is, those movies were bright and vibrant.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're stupid and cheesy, but
yeah,
you know, you expect a bit of bright vibrancy in some of these movies. That's the problem I had with the Spider-Man movies, the last two as well. You know, the Raimi movies were bright and vibrant. The Spider-Man costume popped. It was bright red. Yeah. When you keep muting down everything, all the colors and visuals and storylines and characters, I just feel like it loses all of its identity.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's like they're apologizing to their superheroes in it, you know?
Well, they are.
We got this great dark story and we were forced to stick this superhero in it, you know? Yeah,
it's bizarre.
I mean, even going back to Christopher Nolan, it's like, well, Batman suit is just all black. Like, he just nothing. There's not a hint of any other color.
No, no.
You know, it's like, well, at least Tim Burton gave him a gold, you know, bat on the suit. You know what I mean? At least he did that.
Well, it's even the X-Men movies. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost a lot of that great 90s X-Men style.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're just afraid that people are going to see all of that color and vibrancy and say, oh, this looks stupid. But really, it's, you know, it's kind of the heart of a lot of these franchises. So.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's dark. Dark, yeah. dark. So.
I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, Batman in the new film is going to look a lot more like Batman than he's ever looked since the modern Batman films have been made.
Yeah. You know? Yes.
It's the most accurate looking suit that even going back to Tim Burton.
Yeah, that suit worn. Is fantastic. Until you see him standing next to Wonder Woman and Superman.
Yeah.
Because their suits are not so fantastic.
Right.
And then the Aquaman, though, just kills me.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a hint of color in that.
I just want to see him come out and sing Dragula.
Exactly. Yeah. He really does look like Rob Zombie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the first trailer of that, which I would imagine there'll be some kind of teaser coming out this summer.
It's got to be.
There's so many big movies, you know, to piggyback off of.
Right.
New Avengers, Jurassic Park, Mad Max, something. So...
No, there's gotta be something coming down pretty soon. Yeah,
there does.
You know, I mean, we haven't really seen much from Star Wars either.
Yeah, we just saw that teaser.
Yeah,
that's it. I bet you. What do we have? Like a month and a week until Avengers comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's when we'll see like a full long Star Wars trailer.
It would make sense. I mean, that's Disney's biggest movie this summer with Disney's biggest movie this winter, so...
Exactly. Yeah. No, I'm sure that we'll see something. And then we can do an entire episode talking about it.
Oh, my God. I mean, the amount of calories burnt talking about just the teaser online is unbelievable.
I wrote a shot-by-shot breakdown for Geek Dad. You know, there you go. It's exciting. And, you know, we're talking about getting the tone of DC Comics wrong in the movies? Well, J.J. Abrams, from that teaser, seemed to have gotten the tone of Star Wars right, where George Lucas seemed to have lost that tone.
I just still think that Lucas had an agenda for those prequels. And money. The agenda just wasn't... Yeah, money. You know, I mean, I think there was just a preoccupation with going after very little kids. You know, for some reason. I mean, you can go after little kids, but you don't have to go... The original Star Wars really doesn't have much in it for very little kids. And yet, very little kids adored that movie.
They did.
You know, there was never a problem selling that movie, so...
But at the same time, a lot of little kids love the prequels because that's what they grew up with. So
right, they don't know any better.
They don't know any better. That's a conversation for a whole another episode. We should do that. We should, you know, talk about Star Wars and generations and the whole, you know, because there's kids like our kids right now who they'll have their own movies, but they have great shows like Star Wars Rebels and stuff like that. So.
And aren't they lucky that they got this new trilogy coming up that they'll be knee deep in that, and then that prequel thing will be so far in the back burner.
It will.
You know, because then they'll be like, well, it didn't have these characters in it, because they're going to get Luke and Leia and Han, you know, the older ones, but that'll make them want to watch the original films.
Yeah. Yep. You know? It will.
So
it'll be interesting. We definitely will do an episode on that. I mean, there's a lot to talk about there. We should pull in somebody from the Star Wars world if we can too to discuss that.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Somebody from Hasbro or something when they unveil the new figures or something, because there's a whole psychology to the whole marketing of Star Wars that's fascinating to me.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we covered the dark and the light debate pretty well.
Yeah, I mean it's going to go on, you know, from film to film to film. There will be a debate as to whether or not the tone is right and the tonality.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't understand why there has to be one overarching tone. It just makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Is it so hard to just be tone appropriate?
Well, that's the problem with the tent pole, you know, the franchise pull-in. You know, I think things like Daredevil, if Marvel pulls that into their whole Marvel universe, it's going to be a little tricky because it seems to be a different time than Avengers and a different New York than Avengers. Right. So, you know, that's an interesting conversation for once that show actually comes out, to see where it fits in the MCU. But with DC, they're working towards that Justice League movie, so they're going to try to make all these movies fit together as well as they can, and that's too bad because, you know, they're all kind of their own property, and they can come together still.
Absolutely.
But they're just not going to work it that way. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Well, I think that wraps up this episode. We will be back in a couple of weeks. Don't know what the topic is. Don't know if we'll have a guest, but stay tuned. And in the meantime, our new iTunes page should be coming up shortly. When it does, you'll notice all 39 previous episodes of Hey You Geeks will be up there, hopefully, if all goes well. So in the meantime, just check out some of our previous episodes because we have some really great stuff out there. So, until next time, I am Tony Nunes.
And I'm Rick Rebello.
And this is Hey You Geeks.
This podcast has been a production of the Geek Dad Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed this content, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/geekdad.